Hi, I'm Austin, and this is Hort-Bajir Chronicles.
Two planetary cycles passed. I made pick my host. Actor 1154 took Ori. We infiltrated their thoughts and memories. Everything that they had ever done was a synapse away from me being able to recall it. Every skill they had, every piece of information Pick had ever learned was mine now. Although the Hort-Bajir weren't very advanced intellectually, they made up for it with their physical prowess. Pick's body could move through the trees with ease. I could scale the trees with no effort, swing from branch to branch faster than Lin's dead body could ever dream of moving. The razor-sharp blades could sink into the tree trunks like a shredder through flesh. It was the best thing I'd ever felt. Actor 1154 and I used our Hort-Bajir host minds to learn the Hort-Bajir culture, to learn their ways and routines. This gave us an advantage against the rest of the Hort-Bajir we planned on infesting with the rest of our people. Could not have gone smoother in those two cycles. We took the entire colony with no casualties. We took our time and played the simple-minded creatures. We had 47 Hort-Bajir in total. We filled our geds with new yurks that did not have hosts. We had brought them from the home planet. We were not satisfied, though. I would bring my people up in this universe, and they would all have hosts, preferably ones like mine. Strong, capable, fierce, and I knew just the way to do it. Pick had a special set of skills within his community. He was training to be what his tribe called a soother. He strung tree vines tightly through branches and strummed them. He hollowed out trees and beat on them, causing sounds to reverberate through them. He knew how to make these instruments of sound out of most things around him. The Hort-Bajir used this to communicate simple messages over long distance that they couldn't reach with their speech. Pick was exceptionally talented at it. I had planned on using his talents to lure other Hort-Bajir to us and catch them in smaller numbers, but none of the great trees were close enough. I would need to travel. The distance that I would have to travel would take too long, as I still needed the Kondrona rays for survival. Taking the ships would alert the Hort-Bajir, and I wanted the operations to go smoothly. If a Hort-Bajir fled because they were scared, they may warn nearby Hort-Bajir of our presence and make our infiltration slower and more difficult. Actor thought we should take them all by force, but I knew how many of our people there were, and we would need all the hosts we could get. Subtlety was the way. I was thinking about this and also exploring the edges of a deep crevasse that the Hort-Bajir called Father Deep. Pick kept warning me to stay away.
Father Deep, danger. Do not go. You will be dying. That means Pick will be dying.
There were monsters in Father Deep, and I knew this to be true because Pick had seen them.
Jabba Jabba, eat Hort-Bajir.
I heard rumbles of movement in the depths below the purple mist that flowed all around Father Deep. Pick insisted that this was also the Jabba Jabba monster.
They're eating everything. Hort-Bajir, Chadu, rocks. They never stop eating.
This only intrigued me more. And if there were monsters in this crevasse that even the Hort-Bajir were scared of, maybe we could also take them as hosts. That's when I decided I would venture into Father Deep to find out for myself. I found a fallen tree that stretched down into the crevasse. I dug in with my claws and cautiously began to descend.
What do?
Pick was panicking.
Simtaf, fool! Simtaf will die.
I pushed his thoughts down so I could concentrate. I climbed below the mist, where the Hort-Bajir eyes couldn't see as well. I did not know how much longer I had left, and I did not want to slip and fall. There were ridges that extended from the walls of Father Deep, but I wanted to see how deep the crevasse was. So I climbed and climbed down further and further. Eventually, the mist cleared, and I could finally make out the ground below me. The ground was not the same as the forest floor. There were no long, lush grass or trees growing up from it. It was hard dirt and stone, like home. I looked around and did not see any of the monsters Pick had seen. I still heard the rumbles in the distance, but not much else. Began to walk and observe this area. The ground sloped slightly, and there were rocks jutting up out of the ground, some of the tops of them even breaking through the mist. I walked for a little while, and not much changed with the scenery. More rocks, more dirt, no monsters. I heard a rock fall from one of the ledges above, and I quickly turned. I could see the pebbles clatter down the side of the wall to my level, but didn't see any other signs of movement from the ledge. I moved closer to the wall to look up, but something out of place caught my eye. There was a glow coming from inside the crack of the crevice wall. A yellow glow that reminded me of the lights on one of the stolen Andalite ships. I moved over to the crack in the wall, knelt down on my knees, and curved my host's long neck to see inside the hole. There, set in the wall, was a small yellow crystal. It was in some sort of socket. I reached in and grabbed it with the tip of my claws. With a small pull, it clicked, and I had taken it out of its place. The glow slowly dimmed. I looked over the crystal, and it seemed to spark. This small crystal had electricity in it.
Maybe tasting? See if good.
I pushed Pick's consciousness back down and tried refitting the crystal into the socket. It fit, and the glow started again. This could be a source of power, I thought to myself. It is not a new host, but if this thing held enough power, maybe I could use it to make a Condrona generator that I could carry around with me. I plucked the stone back out and stood up and examined it again. Then, some sort of thick, wet substance fell from the sky and coated the crystal and my claw. I looked up and found something else that I was looking for. One of Father Deep's monsters.
The splintered and broken trunk of the Lethardak lay sprawled around you. Kepha was carving the bark quickly and efficiently. Each is still tending to Bronk and working on getting Yunos calmed down. Sinilian has just come out of his morph and returned to his Andalite form. And Elira is in Bronk form, sniffing around. And then y'all thuds to the ground.
Kepha's gonna run over to y'all and see if she can do anything.
Hey, give me a medicine check.
Okay.
His eyes are closed. His beak is wide open and like his tongue is laying out of the side.
Can I grab my bracer and run up to Sinilian and say, here, heal him up. I'm going to climb up the tree and have a look around.
All right. And he'll take the bracer and start trying to figure it out.
Give me a technology roll. And Elira, you can give me a perception check as you climb up the tree.
Do I get that with advantage for it being technology I've seen in my life?
Nah.
Wow, that's rude. That's Arcana, right?
Yeah.
I can help by saying, like, you press the button with the green switch.
I will allow that. With a 12... and her direction, you see the green switch.
Excellent. I will flip the green switch.
A dart shoots out. You hit him.
Yeah, I think I've seen this thing being used before. I have some idea.
It's a 1d4 plus Sinilian's intelligent modifier.
Oh, you're fucked. On a scale of 1 to 10, my friend, you're fucked. That's a 0.
So you get 2 hit points back, y'all.
Each is also going to go over to y'all to heal.
I don't know if y'all would even, like, register 2 hit points.
Alright, so it's 1d8 plus 3. So you get 5.
The universe does not want me healed.
Nope, really doesn't.
Okay, well that's enough that I think y'all will get up.
Elira, you dig into these trees and scale up. What are you kind of looking for?
I'm trying to see if there were any creatures nearby, because I feel like we just made like a huge racket, so I want to make sure we're not being like snuck up on. Sneaked up on?
Sneaked.
Snooked,
yeah. You get up here, and as you look around, you do see some other chadu flocking off.
Flocking off?
Yeah, flocking off.
Flock off, motherflocker.
You also notice another Lethardak a distance away. Like, it's not close enough to see the rest of the group, but it is, like, just moving around slowly. You don't see any sign of, like, get or anything like that.
Perfect. I'll run back down the tree and rejoin the group and probably start demorphing back to my normal self.
We had talked about if we thought that anybody had gotten to this community yet. I remember, but I think we figured it was safe. So we're going to head towards there across the big tree bridge.
Yunos, did you all ask her if she had seen any Ged? And she hadn't. She doesn't know what they are. It is what she has told you. So, but take it how you will.
What time of day is it?
It's like midday.
What's that in alien time?
Garshnash. That's my go-to.
It is your go-to.
Sorry, glish glosh.
This way or that way?
It's a dialect thing. What do you mean? The sun? Where's the sun?
Do you want, like, okay, that was a super weird joke. Do you want a, like, sort of nerdy quick dissertation, or shall we just move past this?
No, go. Tell me.
Okay, so if you're talking to certain native peoples in their native tongues, they have time explanations where they will have like certain times of day. But the way that they back that up with AM PM is they go like forward for like PM and like back for AM or vice versa, something like that. So it's like a word combined with a hand gesture to determine AM or PM. So that was a really weird joke.
Hold on. As long as we're explaining Alex jokes, what's with the murmurations? I didn't get murmurations.
Oh, a murmuration is like a large flock of birds. Like when you see like millions of starlings moving together in those really cool clouds that you kind of like, they move around each other in those really interesting patterns. Yeah. That's a murmuration.
Okay. I thought it was something about murmurs.
Yeah, and that was the other part of the joke, was about murmurs. But okay. I figure you knew that part and you just needed the bird part explained.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
Tim
now
said,
it makes
this
sense.
Game flocks. And I said, yeah. I've heard murmurations about that.
Yeah.
These aren't good jokes.
We'll say it's more forward then. Is that PM?
It's alien culture. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. It's Garfnash.
It's Garfnash clock.
Nerful to Garfurk.
Is it BC or AD?
It's HB.
It's HP.
It's AS after zero.
Too soon. Oh, Casey face. Each would probably look at Kefa to see if she thinks we should continue towards the village.
Yeah, Kefa's just going to look toward each and look toward the village and nod. We go.
Gather up my boys and Yunos and Bronk and Shadu.
She'll say, I take you. My father, grateful, happy you save Yunos. Each give me an insight check real quick. You don't have to do it real quick. Take your time, but I'm just...
No, faster.
After she says, like, her father will be happy, you see Rock, like, look at you and nod, like, good, he like says under his breath to you, father important. And she'll like start to lead you all away. On the way, is there anything you all want to do?
I would like to heal. So I will just walk quietly as I heal. Probably the only thing that y'all will do is y'all will look at each, and y'all will look at Sinilian for both having healed him, and will thank them for that.
Good fight. Y'all strong.
Y'all will just be like, Poke holes. Monster explode.
For the Andalites, it's a little bit of a tough trek in your Andalite forms. So after about an hour, you all come to the edge of Father Deep, and Yunos leads you all right to this huge tree that the branches stretch over Father Deep. And this is kind of on like a multi-tiered land surface, and different branches cross underneath this big bridge. But there, you can see there's one major big bridge that stretches across Father Deep.
I feel like each would want to, like, how are we going to tell this new tribe about what's going on and like what to look out for and all of that? Like, do we have a plan for that?
We send Kefa and y'all, we talk first.
Kefa first.
Y'all too.
Kefa first.
Kefa first.
Y'all go to Hudson Kefa alone.
No, never alone.
But not new friends. New friends go later. New friends are scary.
In good way.
I always thought we were quite adorable looking.
Kefa turns to the three boys and says, "Ah, they're not so bad."
Right when Alira says something about being adorable, y'all just goes over and picks up Sinilian's tail blade. Maybe scary.
Sinilian is extremely freaked out by what you're doing. He's like, trying to like move his tail blade like away from where you're picking it up and up. Like, what are you doing?
Y'all realizes this and then doesn't let go and then starts playing with Sinilian's tail like it's a weapon.
He's absolutely going to try and just tear that thing out of your grip.
I feel like each would like hold up the blades all over and be like, also scary.
He'd point at his blades with Sinilian's tail blade.
Sinilian is straight up trying to pull his tail blade out of your grasp.
Still holding it and using it as a teaching aid. But our blades, same. This blade, this body, and then points all over Sinilian with the, as though it's a pointer.
You all can make opposed athletics checks.
Yeah.
Athletics.
Okay.
Oh, that's going to be tough to beat.
Oh my god!
What the fuck?
Tim called his shot!
We rolled the same thing! On the die, we rolled the same thing.
Holy shit!
The modifier got it.
Oh my god. Incredible.
Now y'all has a beak grin as Sinilian has not been able to take his tail blade away.
Sinilian is not just like... is not just wanting to rip his tailblade away from you. He's like actually distressed. Like, what you're doing is a horrible affront to him as well. So he's also like very like, just, you could tell full body language distress by what is happening to him right now.
I think that in reality, most people would be able to tell. I don't think y'all can tell. Y'all just realizes that he's bothering Sinilian.
All right, boys, let's break it up. We are very scary.
At that moment, y'all is holding Sinilian's tail blade up against his largest blade to see which one is bigger.
And Austin and...
Yeah. Sinilian's blade is definitely thicker than all of your blades.
It's girthier?
It's what matters.
It's girthier. Your elbow blades might be a little bit longer, but those are the only ones.
Okay.
Boys, you're both very ferocious. Can we move on?
Alira, he will not let go of my tail.
Y'all eventually lets go of tail.
You do, he'll like crack it, like bullwhip crack it in the air above you.
And then y'all, of course, will start trying to bullwhip crack his own blades, and it's not working at all.
Maybe you two should spar.
You teach me. You teach me poppy noise.
While they've been measuring tail blades and various other blades, Kefa has just been, like, going down into this tangle above Father Deep. Slowly.
Give me a perception check.
Does y'all realize this?
I don't think so. I think him and Sinilian were wrapped up while this was going on.
Y'all's one job was to go with Kefa.
Kefa, you hear these low rumbles from Father Deep. You've heard them before. Anytime you get close, you kind of hear those. But Father Deep is deep below you. It's far down. As you kind of look around, you do see that this particular bunch of trees is the only one that stretches fully up to the level that this next plateau's on and all the way across. Other branches do stretch over Father Deep, but you'd have to be an athletic courtbazier to jump from some of them. You could, but it would be tough. You just notice that as this landscape looking around.
She's not going to go any deeper. She's just going to travel back up to where everybody else is and say, y'all come, we go.
Y'all will be like, he'll turn around like, okay, y'all come.
Each stay with scary friends.
The boys start to like look back and forth at each other. We scary friends, Rock.
Oh, very tough, very strong. But go home.
Yes. And they all move past you all really fast to join Kefa and y'all. And then first Yum Yum stops and looks back, runs back up to each and hugs her. Rock stops and turns around, and a little bit longer lingering Bolt turns around, and they all hug you, Bronk, try to pet the Chidu, and they even go up to Sinilian and Alira and like lean in to new friends hug Hork-Bajir hug. They do it, and that's okay.
Is that what they say?
It's universal. Oh, yeah. No, they didn't say that.
Okay. I was like, damn, they got so fucking, like, eloquent all of a sudden.
But, yeah, if you all don't stop them, they'll wrap around you.
I will definitely hug them all back. Little baby boys.
I'll probably, like, back up just because, like, they're towering over me. And she'll be like, what is... Explain.
Hork-Bajir, protect and show Hork-Bajir one.
I think she'll kind of glance at Sinilian and like go through the hug, but her like her fur is standing up. She's like, this is so weird. I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, I think Sinilian will be very similarly apprehensive about what's going on, and he'll just do the classic, like, pat awkwardly on the head.
Rock and Bolt get it, and they back off pretty quick. Yum Yum is wrapped on you all, leaned all in, beak smiling. He actually grabs you both, brings you in.
Okay.
Thank new friends. For everything.
You're welcome.
And they jump like from branch to branch and catch up to Kefla and y'all. Yunos does also say bye and thank you. She doesn't hug you. Kefla, y'all, you make your way across this bridge, and you see as you exit off onto this plateau, this massive tree. It's a great tree, just like your all's home. And you see Hork-Bajir swinging around in the branches. Y'all, you see their bark team at the top, cutting bark off and throwing it into bags, like each had. Kefla, you notice Yunos run in and straight to like the base of this tree. And a Hork-Bajir that wears a bright green leafed mane on his head. The other Hork-Bajir that are around him start to point, and he turns to see Yunos, and they embrace in a hug.
Kefla will definitely walk up, let them have their moment, and then walk up behind him, behind Yunos, and then says, Kefla, Yunos' father?
Yunos turns around and she says, yes, father, Kefla, save me, y'all save me. He looks back and forth. Yes, thank you both, Chieftain Brower. And this Hork-Bajir, he was probably on the bark team in his heyday. He's a little bit older now, so he stands shorter than y'all for sure, but he's kind of bulky. I feed. Come.
Yes. Thank you. Later. We have many things to talk about.
Oh. Yes. We hang from the tree. Come on. And he, like, starts to lead you guys to the great tree. When he gets to the base, he'll, like, start to climb up.
Yeah, she's gonna follow. And turn around and motion to y'all. And wave him on. He's just staring at that bark, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
There is, like, a guy that was standing with the Chieftain Brower, and he has, like, this long piece of bark in his hand, and he, like, looks at you looking at the bark. Give me a persuasion check, just by your looks.
Which one of us?
Y'all.
Y'all, okay. I feel very persuasive.
He looks at you, and then he, like, looks at Yunos, and he says, you save Yunos. Here, take some bark. And he just, he pulls some more out of his bag. This bark is the bark. It's not the best bark you ever had, but it's damn sure second. You know what I'm saying? And he hands it to you, and, like, he looks at Yunos, and he says, thank you. And you see, like, as you keep walking, Rock looks at him and just, like, stares down his beak at him as he passes.
Y'all is going to turn to Kefla and just yell, Kefla, they have Wagyu bark. So good. And he's just going to be eating his bark.
Kefla just turns and shakes her head.
Chieftain Brower leads you up to a branch that's about midway up the great tree, and it has these big yellow fruits just kind of hanging off of these branches up here. And he just kind of digs his claws into one of the trees and, like, bends his knees over the back of it and just hangs down, just hanging out. He grabs one of these fruits and rips it open and starts eating it.
Do we know what these fruits are?
You have seen them before. Let's call them Ruba fruits.
Okay.
But he'll offer you some.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good?
Yep, they are.
Okay. What do they taste like?
Like a dried leaf that has been baked in the sun over top of a branch with a savory sap. And then, like, dust from this plant that it just blows off parts of it, and, like, the dust spreads over it, so it makes it a little bit sweet too.
Like,
Austin just made a creme brulee.
Are there pink versions of the fruits as well?
Yeah. On the other, if you got find the tree near water.
Like I know that you think that you just made this thing sound unappetizing to me, but appetizing to my Hork was yourself. But I think it's the opposite that just happened, because now to me this sounds like tea flavored, woody scented, bee pollen tasting, amazing unctuousness, and I want it in my life. And the fact that it is something that your brain made up and I cannot have, I am mad, sir.
We can figure it out. We can make it happen.
Me and Austin are just going to dump tree sap on something and then go stand 4 feet away and throw sugar at it.
We did it.
Is this what you wanted?
German toast bark.
I need to clip that so that I can make something. All right. Yep. Keffa's going to take what he's offered, but barely eat any of it, and then hand the rest off to y'all.
Y'all is now double fisting food.
Hell y'all. What's so important, Keffa? You travel all the way to the eastern great tree.
Have you seen many strangers?
No. Some Hork Bajir every now and then.
No one else?
Some Lothardak come closer.
No one blue?
No blue. Only the mouth of a Lothardak. Scary, stay away.
Keva's gonna turn and look at y'all.
Scarier inside.
But, yes, brave outside. And he points to you. Mm-hmm. Save my daughter.
Y'all did do this.
So glad you brave and not smart.
Y'all also this.
I give you anything you need.
More Wagyu bark.
Garsh Nash. You see some Hork Bajir.
Is it Garsh Nash already?
Is Garsh Nash the Hork Bajir version of John?
Oh my gosh.
It's Smurf for Hork Bajir.
It's John Smith. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and Gifsh Nash is Jane. Jane.
Austin was the only one not present for that conversation. Does Austin know the context of what a drawn is?
No, which even makes his yes ending even better. Yeah. He's just diving right into
but
it.
He's Southern. I thought he knew.
I thought this was a Northern thing.
That's a, no, it's like a Philly thing.
It's a Jenna thing.
That's the North.
What, like to call somebody a John? Like, what's up, John? Like that?
No, it's something. I mean, you could. It's apparently every item. Fine. It can be anything that's a noun can be a Juwan.
Oh, okay.
This is not a Juwan. It's not Juwan. It's Juwan. This Juwan. Is a John, and this little thing right here is a John, and this is a John.
I keep saying that it's from the north, and then Jen always corrects me and says, "No, it's like Philly," and I'm like, "That's the north. That's the north."
That's Appalachia.
But it's the North Appalachia.
Yeah, but it's like North Appalachia in a way that like East Cobb is an important modifier on Cobb.
I'm not from there.
She got you. She fucking got you.
You guys get more Wagyu bark.
Cool. Yeah, Keffa takes a bite. Is it delicious?
Yeah.
Does it need just like a little salt and pepper and nothing else?
Yes, it's nice. Like, and it's the center of the tree, so it's like not bark. That's not what bark is. It's the center of the bark.
It's the heartwood.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the middle of the cinnamon bun. Is that what you're saying?
Are we in Heartland?
It's the middle of a cinnamon barked tree.
In my mind, that tastes like the Auntie Annie's little cinnamon sugar pretzel.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm, now I need them. Kefa turns to the chieftain and is like, our heart tree, or fucking, what's our tree called? The fucking great tree, whatever it is. Great Wolf Lodge, that thing. What is it called, Austin? Help me. That goes took over my entire life.
It's the great tree, and they have one amazing water slides and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all their workers are AI. I don't know if that's true.
And one of them flooded the other day, and it looked like the Titanic going down. It was crazy.
If a Great Wolf Lodge floods, it just becomes the biggest Great Wolf Lodge.
They just build more over it.
Becomes the Dire Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, anyway. So Kepa turns to the chieftain and says, our great tree gone.
Oh, very sad. We have saw big booms, bright lights in the distance.
And he points like back west towards your great tree. Mm.
Yes. Strangers come.
Strangers. What kind of strangers?
She's gonna turn to y'all.
Very complicated.
What complicated?
Strangers small. In brain.
She's gonna be like, no. Show.
Strangers in the night. Strangers. Squishy.
No. Do
go in
no
here.
No, y'all. Do the walk.
Okay. And he goes over and does the gad walk.
Give me a performance check.
Even though I don't think I was the one that did that last time. I think I was laughing at Sinelian for doing it, but...
Yes, but I wanted you to do it because I didn't want to do it.
What kind of performance is that?
He looks at you doing this, y'all, and he says,
I only see one Hort-Bajir walk like that. He elder, he old as shit. He grew up on Gray Tree Bark. That's how old he is. And he walk like that, but no, nothing else.
These strangers, they blue, they walk like this, and they squishy, they die easy.
Oh, they fall easy. We push?
No, we stab. I know this new concept, but we stab.
Oh. What do?
I teach.
Strangers.
In the night.
What want? What strangers want in Mother Night? No.
I don't mean it. No. Kefa explained better. Strangers. Strangers not think right.
Strangers. Not themselves.
Something going on in life?
Kefa, we bring over new friends. New friends explain strangers. We take old guy, old chieftain to new friends. That not scary.
I go.
Yeah, he go. He chill AF. We
Kefa,
go.
Kefa's gonna hold up her hands and say, "You not freak out when you see them."
Yeah, you big freak out. They weird as shit.
Oh.
Not Hort-Bajir.
No, they come from Mother Sky.
Which I do.
No.
No. Well, sometimes.
Oh, that's complicated again.
Yes. Sometimes. Sometimes cha do.
Sometimes cha don't.
Inspiration.
That was so stupid. How do you give me inspiration for that?
It was so quick. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah, we go to show. We go, Yunos. Yunos, come too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we go. And then y'all starts headed that way.
He'll swing up, take one last bite of his fruit, and start to climb down the tree with you.
Kefa's gonna point to the fruit and say, we take a couple.
Take all you like. We already harvest.
And she's gonna grab a few and put them in her papoose, her little bag that each made for.
As you go down, you do see that this tree in this village is sizable. There's like 100 hortbajir all around this village, swinging through the trees, you know, some of them weaving bags and baskets, and you see some, not as extensively as each, but some of them are like making salves and different things like that. Young hortbajir playing, like racing and playing tag. You see the leader of the bark team, actually the current leader of the bark team, looks at you, y'all, as you're like climbing down, and just like sizes you up a little bit, just kind of nods. This is a village not unlike your all's. You move back out to the tree bridge. But in the meantime, while all this was going on, let's rewind and head back to the tree bridge with the Andalites and each, as your friends have just left.
I think Alira's gonna get as close to the edge as she dares and try to look down into Father Deep, because she's real curious about it.
Yeah, give me a perception check.
I would love to do that just for you.
It's hard to see. You definitely can't see all the way to the ground because of the mist. You do hear those same rumbles now that you're kind of focusing on it. As like you strain a little bit more and kind of scan with your stalk eyes, every like if you stare for about 10 minutes, probably once you might see some kind of movement close to one of the walls, like down below the mist. Kind of in your head, thinking back how the hortbajir have been moving and how the ged move and how Andalites move, you just take all this in, and you know that it's not a ged, definitely. It's too fast. It's not a hortbajir because, for one, it's still too fast, and the parts that it's climbing on aren't tree. It's like rock surface. That's pretty much what you get out as you look down.
Can I gauge how big it is?
Because of like it's obscured mostly by the mist, you see its silhouette, but it's hard to gauge. It's no bigger than Senilian, but it could be like anywhere in that range. That to like, actually, I'll say like you to Senilian, like anywhere between that range is what it could be.
Okay, each is gonna check on Bronk because I know Bronk got pretty hurt last battle. And I know I had healed him a little bit, but...
So he is, he has, like, your salve on his, like, one of his haunches or something. And he is limping, but he seems to still be able to move through. He's not moving as fast as he normally does.
Does Senilian still have Illyra's gauntlet?
I think Senilian would have given it back pretty quickly. So it's probably back with Illyra.
Okay. So I would ask, like... Help Bronk, all better?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. It's a D4. That's a 7. Sim. I mean, it's probably already set on green, so she'll just gently poke Bronk in maybe like his hind leg.
I feel like each would have had his head facing towards her to
kind
of distract him.
Yeah, we'll do the vet thing.
Yep.
This won't hurt. poke him and yeah.
He does do that thing like when if you poke him in the leg, he like jumps a little bit, but not as each is kind of holding him, he stays there and heal him up son. He's better. He's still, you know, licking some of his wounds, but
new friends think we can save New Village.
I suppose that depends on their current condition. If they are already infiltrated with Yerkes, then I would say no, but if they haven't been, then it would be good to have them on our side. Do you agree, Sinillion?
I think Sinillion this whole time has been kind of, he goes into his normal sort of routines, like when there's stopping points. So I think he's kind of been just kind of meandering a loose circle around everybody, like keeping a lookout, but he's like circling Alira and each and watching kind of what's going on, trying to keep a lookout. So he's overhearing this conversation, but like not necessarily contributing. But when you call him out specifically, he's just going to pause for a second and then give this very neutral, "We will do our best."
Stop pain to Hork-Bajir.
That is the goal.
I feel like also like if Bronk is kind of moving around a bit and everything, like we're pretty high up, you said, out of Father Deep, right?
Yeah. And if you all are still on this bridge, it like you could get to the edge and be on like ground, but if you're on the bridge, you're pretty high up.
So I think I'd talk to Bronk and just say, you know, someday go say hi, Father Deep, again. Not today.
He does like look over when you kind of say that and see Father Deep, and then he like moves over back closer to you.
Why does Bronk want to go to Father Deep?
Bronk from Father Deep.
Does he have family there?
Ish does not know how to answer that. Not when fined? Maybe.
When and how did you find Bronk?
Heard noise in Father Deep. Went close, attacked, but protected Bronk. Zero first new friend. Meet. Save Bronk. Not go back.
Alir's gonna turn to Sinillion and private thought speak. I think I want one of us to fly down to Father Deep and not touch the ground, but just have a look around.
Would you like me to go? I have the Chidu morph.
Yes. I think you should. If you don't mind.
Not at all. And Sinillion will start morphing.
About a minute later, there's another Chidu standing there. The Chidu in flocks down and looks at you. Kind of cocks his head. Confused. Like, after a second, they like peck at you, but nothing like to hurt you. Just like to, what are you? You look familiar.
I think Sinillion will be like cocking his Chidu head back when he's doing that, but when he starts pecking at him, he'll just back up.
And when you back up, he'll look at you for a second longer, but then preen a little bit, hop up into a tree, hop back down to each shoulder.
And Sinillion will take off and start kind of gliding down to Father Deep.
I feel like Sinillion's probably pretty stealthy at this, unless there was a specific reason each would be preoccupied with the animals.
I don't think Sinillion was trying to hide it from you at all. Like, if it's not like this was, other than the private thought speak, I don't think he was trying to be like super stealthy about it. So you would notice if you wanted to.
So I guess then each would ask Ilira, where go? Father Deep, dangerous.
He will not be exploring too far. and he will stay in the air. I assume most of the creatures down there are land-based.
Only no scary ones on land. No more in Father Deep's. Many monsters.
Be careful, Sinelian. Maybe 10 minutes?
I will count it down now.
Sinelian, you drop down through these branches, the leaves and different tree limbs that stretch out are just flying past you as you're almost in a dive. And you break past where these branches stretch out, and there's this gap between them, probably about 30 to 40 feet before you hit the mist. And then you're in the mist and a cloud. The last thing Alira and each see is a little poof of the purple mist shoot up behind you.